We are at the petition part on our agenda, and the first item up is item number 5, Mandatory Big Game Harvest Report. We'll hear from Director Tom Kirschman first, and then the author of the petition, Ron Kolbeck, will join us. So, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioners. Again, Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. Have two petitions in front of you today. First one, as you mentioned, has to do with big game hunting and mandatory reporting of harvest, and then we'll get into the second petition. As always, you have the petition in front of you. You have the options of denying the petition and stating reasons why, or accepting a petition. And if you accept a petition, that would begin the rule promulgation process. Where
Tom,
we as an agency, yes?
They can't hear us. Just give us a minute.
Oh, all right.
Sorry.
Are we good now? All right, very good. I shall start over then real quickly.
Thank you, sir. My apologies.
Yes, no problem, Madam Chair. All right. Again, Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. Two petitions in front of you. When we deal with petitions, you as the commission have two options in front of you. You can either accept a petition, which starts the rule promulgation process, where we as an agency will work with you as a commission. We will put it out there for public comment, put it out there in an official public notice, and then ultimately have an official public hearing on it. Typically on these types of steps, we would have the next commission meeting where you just have the opportunity to take public comment, and then the subsequent meeting after that would be when the final action would take place for the official public hearing of it. Your other option on petitions is to not accept them, deny them, and then you give the reasons why. And then the petition itself would no longer be in the conversation unless you, the commission, has some other thoughts, perspectives that you would give direction to the or the department on that specific topic. So with that being said, the first petition has to do with a request that came in from Mr. Ron Kolbeck, and Ron is also part of South Dakota Bow Hunters, and Ron is present today. So, Madam Chair, I would suggest turning it over to Ron and let him share thoughts and perspectives from him and his organization, and then I will follow up with some comments as well. So, Madam Chair, I'm going to turn it over to you and Mr. Kolbeck for opening comments.
Wonderful. Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Kolbeck. We'll just have you introduce yourself for the record, and you can begin.
Sure. Whoops. Sorry. At our annual meeting, and we had a long discussion, actually, of our membership, and ended up had full support to pursue seeing if we can get mandatory reporting implemented. After that meeting, Justin Broughton, the organization's president, and myself had discussions with Secretary Roebling, Director Kirschman, about this. They shared that they were working on plans to implement e-tag system, and hopefully along with that would be able to implement the mandatory reporting. Glad to hear that, that those discussions were happening, and hopefully they are continuing to happen. A few months ago, conversation turned a little bit that there was some drastic concerns with the e-tagging system that they had, and they were not pursuing that as rapidly as we had hoped. At the same time, we have hunters coming out of the field this fall and expressing concerns about the deer populations, the antelope populations that they were witnessing out there, whether that just be obviously antelope from the winters that we had and so forth, but EHD with the whitetails, so forth, that there was a lot of concerns and wanted us to pursue this for implementation as soon as possible. So that's why we're here today. The petition, it really, the goal here is to get data, the best quality data available to Game Fish and Parks biologists and to you as trustees of the resource to help the resource rebound as quickly as possible. We all know that we're not going to have opportunities if we don't have a resource. So that's the primary goal here in getting this implemented. As I was researching this, found out that 45 of the 50 states have some sort of mandatory reporting today. That was higher than I expected to find, quite honestly. But it's very widely varied as how they implement that. So as we put this petition together, we left it very broad to give flexibility for Game Fish and Parks to develop the rules around mandatory reporting. I know I've had discussions with some of you and some of the questions of what are other states doing. It varies widely, like I said, anywhere from it's part of their e-tagging system. They have to do it within a certain number of hours after harvest or immediately upon harvest. And then they have those that are unsuccessful have a certain period of time after the season closes to complete their surveys. Some implement fines at that point. I don't know how they go about collecting those fines at that point. Some do that. Some actually have the requirement, as we proposed, that they cannot apply for their next season's license until they've completed that survey. I know Director Kirschenman shared with me just prior to the meeting that the department plans to oppose this petition, primarily with the concern of enforcement. Of a mandatory requirement. And I understand that to some degree. That's partly why we put in the requirement to be upon applying for the next year's license. Because to us, it seems very simple that you could just implement a requirement that if, as they go on to complete their license application for the next season, if they don't have a completed harvest report from the previous season, it would direct them to complete that right then and there. Takes 2 minutes tops to complete that survey and proceed with their application. And there would not be a need for enforcement, quite honestly, at that point. So that's what we're looking at. Obviously, it was talked about a lot already, but the technology exists today that makes this very, very simple to implement. I know there's been concerns in the past. I'm old enough to remember when mandatory reporting was required when I was a kid. Actually, the first year I got married. I had a change of address, obviously, and my survey card went to former address, and I didn't get it. When I went to apply for my license the next year, they wouldn't accept my application. That's back when everything was through mail and everything else. But at that point, I simply completed my application. We're done. It's that simple, even back then. So today's technology, it should be an easy process. The main thing is we need to get this information to the biologists and to you folks to make the right decisions as we move forward. With that, I'll stick around for any questions that I may be able to address.
Very good. We'll hear from Director Kirschman at this point, and then we'll have questions at the end. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioners, Secretary Roebling. Again, Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. A lot of conversations have gone around this topic, and as Mr. Kolbeck said, Secretary Roebling, myself, a few other staff have had some ongoing conversations with South Dakota bow hunters. And one thing that I will first point out is we absolutely have a lot of shared goals and objectives as an agency and their organization and the sportsmen across South Dakota, right? We all enjoy and want good data. We all want to do what's best for the populations. We want to have healthy populations that rebound from various challenges that occur, from environmental factors to disease to bad winters to drought to whatever it might be, flood conditions, whatever rises out there. So while we're going to talk about maybe some of the concerns that we have in respect to the petition, I think it's very important to also understand that we have a lot in common and share a lot of the same goals and objectives that I believe you as a commission do as well, as we're responsible for managing these populations and providing opportunities to our sportsmen and women. So the concept that is before you in respect to the petition, talking about the mandatory reporting, the first thing that I'd like to talk just briefly about is the concept of making sure that our biologists, our managers, have good data and good information to use as they're coming up with their recommendations and bringing forward management approaches, not only within the department and having those conversations, but also bringing that to you as the commission body who ultimately makes final determinations and decisions on season structures, license allocations, all the things that come with those different seasons and hunting opportunities. Well, the conversation here is about the mandatory requirement of harvest information. What I would share with you, and I think it's very important to understand, is the information that we have right now is very, very good information that we have from our hunter harvest reports that we do obtain. When you think of our overall approach right now, it has changed in recent years. We used to, for like the deer seasons, antelope, some of those seasons, we used to do a subsample of those folks. We send out a harvest report to all hunters right now that have a license. We do have good data that we can use use for good management decisions. But I also want to stress that harvest information is not the only piece of information that we use from a management perspective in setting seasons. I mean, we do our fall classifications, which we can then look at recruitment coming into the population as well. We have our conversations that happen with our conservation officers, biologists, WDS staff, with landowners and people across the state every given year. So we have multiple pieces of information we use from a management perspective in making management decisions. And yes, harvest information is an important one for us to use in that, I'll say, repertoire of data that we use in bringing forward management recommendations and making decisions out there. So obviously, we have a lot of good information. Our harvest information is very good. Like other states, many other states, they do have mandatory require or reporting. As Mr. Colbeck said, there's various forms and shapes that these come in, right, and different approaches that they take. There's also states that do what we do right now, and that's actually doing that, I'll say, voluntary harvest reporting and sending that out to those license holders to submit that information. And so we continue to work with those folks, and we obviously highly encourage folks to turn those in. So what I also want to talk about, though, this the ask of having the mandatory reporting. We've been talking to you about the e-tagging concept and what that may look like going into the future, and we've been having ongoing conversations internally. Staff have meet almost once every 2 weeks on this particular topic. We have a working group that's looking at various pieces and aspects of what this would look like, and with the e-tagging is that reporting piece of it as well. So there's a lot to work out. There's a lot more details to it. It's not quite as simple as saying, well, we've got go outdoors and we can do e-tagging and boom, you've got all this put in place. One of the things that we have been working on in that overall conversation is the fact that a lot, if not most, of our hunters, landowners, and folks out there across South Dakota, they're so used to seeing that physical tag on a harvested animal that the desire is for something like that to retain. So that's part of that e-tagging conversation. So then we're trying to tie that associated with how we can obtain that harvest information once you're doing that e-tagging as real life, lifetime information collecting through that type of system. We wanted to do some testing this fall and it just didn't work out. We ran into a few glitches that we felt needed to be some more discussion. Our staff are working on that right now, and I'm hopeful that we're going to do some type of live testing next year before we would actually launch, whether it's e-tagging and then the requirement of submitting of that harvest information once you do harvest an animal. So we've been having those conversations. We're working on building that. What we do want to do, though, is when we're ready to do that, we want to make sure that we have a finished product that's ready to launch for our users. That's why we want to do some internal testing, get that built, internal testing. We've even asked, as Mr. Colbeck said in our conversations, having some of their folks even help test and have some users that we know that hunt deer, hunt elk, whatever it might be, to help test so that we're ready to implement something that we have an extreme high level of confidence that will work and function once it comes time that day to launch that. So we continue to work on that, and that'll be a big part of having that real-time harvest information. So, and the last thing I want to share in respect to this, the concept of the mandatory and requirement to submit that harvest report before you can apply for a license. I certainly understand the approach. We certainly applaud and appreciate the concept of wanting having that high quality data, have as much data as possible. I will be very open and front with you. Do have some level of concern of some potential unintended consequences that would come with that if we just all of a sudden implement a mandatory requirement of a harvest report, and if you don't, you cannot apply until you would actually finish that report. Every year we send harvest reports to folks via email. I'm pretty confident that there are folks, right, that their email, it doesn't come through, it goes to spam, they don't see it, they forget about those things happen, right? We know those things exist. I am fearful that if we have that type of strict requirement and we're going to say you can't even apply because you didn't submit that, are there ways that we can do it within the system and bring that up? I'm sure there is. And those are things that we would have to all look at. But I'm also concerned that if you all of a sudden have that strict of a mandatory requirement that you can't even apply until submitted, there are going to be a lot of phone calls coming to you. There will be a lot of phone calls coming to us. There will be phone calls going to other folks. And it will become very, very time intensive. I'm not even sure that we could answer the potential volume of calls that may come in. I don't know what that would look like yet, but we just have to consider some of those unintended consequences. And that's going to go for every type of license type that exists out there, whether it's a random drawing, lottery draw, landowner tags, whatever it might be. So those are all things to consider when having that strict of a mandatory requirement for reporting purposes. Again, I don't think the intent is to do a lot of citations or other additional fees when it comes to these things, but when we promulgate rule, that is an administrative rule, and what comes with administrative rules are levels of enforcement. And this could be a challenging one to enforce from that standpoint, but again, at the end of the day, there could be some unintended consequences that we would have to think about and further consider and look at before implementing such a mandatory requirement. At the end of the day, again, as I mentioned early on, we're in the same position as the petitioners and the folks that are bringing this forward. We want good information. We want the best possible information. We want to make good management decisions. We're all in that same boat. We have places where deer numbers are lower right now. We have places where deer numbers are doing fantastic. And we see that. And unfortunately, deer numbers, antelope numbers, whatever we might talk about, are never evenly distributed across the landscape. And it doesn't matter what environmental conditions we see or interact with, that is like that every single year. Habitat could change, environmental changes, and even distribution does not happen out there. A lot of these conversations have also stemmed because of some reports of lower deer numbers down in the southeast part of the state. I know I've talked to a couple of you commissioners about that very issue related to EHD. Again, challenging situation, we've dealt with them before. What's the most important thing is how we now respond based on what we have learned from this year, what's happened down there again. And just having that harvest information alone is not going to dictate what our management decisions are. There's going to be a lot of other conversations that play a major role in what we do there. So, Madam Chair and Commissioners, as an agency, we certainly are supportive of getting data. We're looking forward to when we have the e-tagging concept up and rolling and we have the opportunity to acquire that harvest information through that mechanism as well. We continue to work on that. We're going to continue to work on it. And we hope to have something in place relatively soon that we can test and make sure that we have a well-run, smooth operational system before we would go live with it. And once we go live with it, then we can use that to help obtain more real life and live information in respect to collecting that harvest information. And one of the last point that I would say is Mr. Colbeck mentioned that, you know, sportsmen are certainly engaged and want to provide that information to our agency, to you as the commission, so that we can best manage wildlife. And we sincerely appreciate that. All the things that you do, the decisions you make, what we do, the decisions we make, is also based on information we get from the public. And we all agree to that and respect to a very high level all the information they share to us. What I would offer up in respect to Hunter Harvest, we know they're very passionate about that. We're going to ask these folks, these organizations, other organizations, individuals, then do that right now. You have that opportunity, even through our current Hunter Harvest reports that we send out. Please work with us. When you get that Hunter Harvest report, please respond to it. Provide your information. Even if it is, I did not harvest something. That is all useful information. So the opportunity exists right now as well. And I'm hopeful that folks, even through this conversation, will take heed of that and really take advantage of those opportunities to provide that information when we do share that with them. So, Madam Chair and Commissioners, thank you for the time to provide a few comments on this one. Again, from a department standpoint, we would ask your consideration to not move forward with this right now. Continue to work with us on building that system of e-tagging, which would also include harvest information reporting in there. We look forward to having a system like that in place as well, and I will stand by for further questions if you have some.
Very good. Thank you, Director Kirschman. I think what I'd like to do is give Mr. Colbeck the opportunity for a rebuttal, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Sorry. The only thing that I would add from comments previously, I'll be honest, the e-tagging system has been discussed for a lot of years already. I know it was prior to COVID that was discussed at meetings around the state. There was a lot of opposition. I quite honestly feel there's going to be more public pushback on e-tagging than there ever would be on mandatory reporting. For various other reasons that I won't get into today. But the e-tagging system and mandatory reporting seem to be two different issues to me. I don't know how, if we move to e-tagging, how the issue of enforcement of mandatory reporting is going to change with that. I'm questioning that. So I'm anxious to learn from the department how that's going to be implemented to be able to get to the mandatory reporting. The other thing I would add is, yes, quite honestly, as a sportsman, I'm ashamed that we only have 45-50% of people completing those surveys today. That's not acceptable. We need to improve that if that's what we're going to be working on, is just the volunteer reporting. Part of that is I think some sportsmen don't know that that information is going anywhere, quite honestly. And so there's apathy. They just don't complete it. It's not front and forward to them that they don't complete it. So there needs to be a lot more efforts, and that can be public communication, it can be communication with the department, whatever, to get that participation up. I think mandatory reporting obviously would help build that. I think in a couple years, I don't think you would have a lot of those phone calls that he's talking about. Yeah, the first year, with any change, you're going to have those types of calls. But I think in a year or two, when they find out how simple and easy it is, it's going to be a non-issue.
All right, very good. We'll open it up for questions at this time. Commissioners, any questions? Commissioner Cole.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to direct this to Tom if I can. Not that I don't want you to stay there, but I've got a couple questions, and Tom, I think you did an excellent job justifying your thoughts on this. This is really near and dear to me, and one thing that I was concerned about, and maybe you can just help correct everybody that's listening, when we talk about an e-check, I'm only going to make an assumption it's the same thing as a lot of states call a telecheck. I've hunted in a state as a non-resident and done this for 35 years, and they've progressed through this. And I think that was a confusing thing to me, but do you know for sure, first of all, is a telecheck and an e-check pretty much the same thing? You can either call it in or you can do it on an app. Okay.
No,
but hang on, because you can answer all these at once, I think. The other part of that is when I started doing that, it was just saying I got a deer. Now it's saying, asking where I hunted, what the deer was sex, how old it was, all that kind of stuff. So that's really the harvest information. So go ahead and answer that, and I'll come up with a follow-up.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Cull, you are correct. I mean, the concept that we've been talking about, it's an electronic check, and that could be if you didn't have, you could call it in, or you could do it on an app, per se. And yes, and the concept would include some of those questions that you just brought up there as well. It's that you're collecting all of that information at one time. You know, I know one gentleman earlier today mentioned something about the exact location. That's been an interesting conversation. That probably would not exist in our questions. But, you know, the type of deer, the sex, the those types of things, correct.
Yeah, and what I saw in the state that I hunted, that I did this, I saw the problems, and I'm kind of leaning to Aaron on the side of what you've come up with for information, because I saw it get totally taken off for a year, then come back as something else, and it was all big problems. And this is like 3 or 4 years ago. So the other thing is, and if I'm pushing you for this, sorry, but I think it's just something we need. First of all, I think you're absolutely right. All this mandatory harvest information has come about because of an underlying reason. And I think the underlying reason is there's a lot of disgruntled sportsmen, hunters, whatever, on the number of deer that's spotty, as we all know. But I think the two things that everybody would really like to know is, number one, how are you addressing that? And then secondly, give us a timeline for both doing our due diligence to find out what harvest was this last year, and then when the e-check, telecheck can actually, in your opinion, go into effect.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Cull, a lot of questions. Good questions as well. So first of all, I'll start out with your last question about kind of the timeline. So our staff internally are still meeting every 2 weeks talking about this e-concept, right? And again, our goal would be, I am hopeful that we're going to have some type of testing platform this year yet, so that we can test it for upcoming seasons in 2025, so that we could go with implementation in 2026. Now, that may not mean every season, but it might mean a season or a couple of seasons, or we purposely select a couple of, I'll say, easier, maybe not as big seasons right away before we move into the bigger season. So that will all be determined yet, but that would be our goal, is to be able to do some testing this coming year, 2025. Also, in respect to deer numbers, and so, yes, we're hearing some of those same comments that you are. And you and I have had several conversations about this very topic. The best thing that I can tell you right now is, as the seasons wind down, and, you know, for the most part, all the deer seasons will be done here in a couple of weeks. East River deer season ends this weekend. Archery ends at the end of the year. Mentor deer, muzzleloader, all those things. So obviously we'll start collecting information. But what we know from comments heard, a lot of our local staff are having one-on-one conversations with people right now, whether it's landowner, sportsman, whatever it might be. I can see our staff going out and visiting with sportsmen's groups and having those types of conversations, which we do all the time anyhow, but that's going to be a focal conversation. What I would share to you is the best thing of the system that we have set up right now when it comes to license allocations is we have the opportunity to come back to you as the commission and say, all right, commissioners, this is what we know happened last year. EHD hit us hard in counties X, Y, and Z. Hunting units X, Y, and Z. And because of that, we need to respond. And by responding, this is what we're bringing forward. It might be a license adjustment. It might be season adjustments, whatever it might be. We will start those conversations as soon as these seasons conclude so that we can bring forward potential changes even this spring and go through that process conversations that we could have in place for next fall. In some cases, we have to respond now. We can't wait in another year or two to respond. So you're going to see conversations and most likely recommendations coming from us over the next several months in response to what we saw going into next fall.
And just a point of clarification, because this is something I forgot, you just brought it up. The deer management study, I want you to make sure we just go on record for saying that we actually did it this last year, but what you just said is we can make changes, and that isn't the Bible, so to speak. Okay, just let everybody know what that means. So
from, Madam Chair, sorry, Commissioner Call, from the standpoint of like East River deer season and license allocations by hunting unit, that is addressed through administrative action by you, the commission. And so what we can do is bring forward recommendations for license adjustments, whether it's up, down, or whatever. And even though we set it up as a two-year cycle, that is not a mandatory thing that we cannot deviate from that. You have the ability to make management decisions, so we can bring those recommendations. You can move forward those, make those proper adjustments that will help bolster deer numbers and population levels. And so you have that opportunity, and we can bring those recommendations to you.
Additional questions? Commissioner Teal.
Thank you both for going over all that in detail. I've hunted a few states with E-tag requirements. I don't know if this would be more of a comment than a question. One thing I've seen, even within our hunting groups in some of the other states, is when you have an E-tag system, as far as I know, there's no states forcing an E-tag. So you have the choice in most cases to do E-tag or do paper tag. And the paper tag, some may have mandatory reporting, some may not. E-tagging, obviously, you capture that information. I think a big push when we roll this thing out would be to encourage e-tags, whether that may be a little less expensive option because we don't have to mail out a physical paper tag to that person, which would then encourage that data capture. I think that alone would increase our survey results tremendously. Like you guys had mentioned in your petition, I think forcing somebody not to apply and making them do the survey ahead of time is a good idea and concept. However, we would need that data before that next year's application comes out. So when they come to submit that survey, maybe if something like that was to be implemented in the future, maybe more of like holding them from purchasing a preference point or something if we ever went down that mandatory road. But more of a couple comments than anything, but thank you both.
Additional questions? Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, Commissioner Whitmire. Question, Tom, on the compliance currently. This thing, just whole ideas come to mind with this. I mean, where it's going, you know, what do we hope to gain from it? What are we going to do with the data? Currently, are we, as Ron had said, 40 to 50% compliance? Is that accurate?
Madam Chair, it will vary from season to season, but when you consider the bigger seasons, i.e., West River deer season, East River deer season, the two big firearm season. Last couple of years, it's right around that 50%, sometimes in the low 50s to 50% in terms of response rate right now.
Yeah. I guess the reason I'm asking on that, for 50%, statistically, you're not going to get, I mean, just saying it in statistics, this isn't necessarily this particular subject, but I think it's pretty much established in that world that if you had 50% of checking any commodity or material, what have you, that you've got your number on 100%. I mean, I think you're within a confidence level of 99 point something with the 50%. I support this idea of everybody. I mean, that what a great thing that would be. But, you know, when you get into the carrots and sticks of it, are you going to incentivize people? Are you going to punish for noncompliance? And then what kind of quality are you going to get for response from somebody that's just trying to get to the end of this thing versus what you have, I think, today, we're willing and people that are taking the time to thoughtfully fill this out. You know, I don't know that you want that last 10% anyway. They're just trying to get this out of the way. So it's a tough one. I mean, kind of what I was saying, I guess, as far as where are we going with this is, I think we're trying to derive what is that population based upon hunter success. Well, I call it the tundra, but, you know, we had snow 6 inches before season even started. And, you know, like you said, we've got a few days left of season and the deer have bunched up. They're not
spread throughout the landscape like they would normally be when we don't have snow. But, you know, I got to Aberdeen and I was out of snow. So it's a very isolated area. I understand that has that. But that hunter success in my world is going to be more based upon, are there deer out there where you have permission to hunt? Or are they, have they already moved on to their groups, and versus being based on population? So in that area, I don't even think hunter success is going to tell you what you want, which is try to get an idea what our population is. How bad is this EHD? How bad was that blizzard of 2022? You know, there's so many things that affect it that I just, with the complications, anyway, just to share, I mean, it's a big deal, and I don't want to penalize hunters that are trying to apply because of this goal of getting to 100% if the benefits aren't there.
Yeah. Commissioner Whitmire, through the chair, appreciate those comments, and that really leads back to why I had mentioned earlier the data that we have is actually very, very good from a harvest perspective, just going back to the pure statistical side of this thing. And right now I'm making Secretary Roebling and Andrew Norton really nervous because I'm talking statistics here. But the reality is, from a statistical standpoint, when you're talking about this type of data, when we're talking about getting 12 to 15,000 responses, I mean, the number that we need from a statistical validity standpoint is way, way, way smaller than that. And so the data that we have, that we do obtain from our hunters, that we can use in our modeling and looking at what's happening with the population dynamics out there with whether it's whitetail, mule deer in the western part of the state, eastern part of the state, it's still very, very valid and strong data that is in front of us. And if we had the concern that it wasn't, we'd be looking at doing something different internally probably a long time ago. So from a statistical side of things, it's very strong and robust. But there's always that desire. We understand that when you look at it from the bigger picture, wouldn't it be nice to have more data or all of that data, right? And so I feel really good where we're at. Our managers and biologists are incredibly intelligent folks. They use that data to the best of their ability, along with all the other data that we collect that I mentioned earlier in the big picture of how do we manage these herds and how do we provide the best opportunity with the health of the population in mind at the whole time.
Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Director, I'm going to go down a different rabbit hole with this one. What is the legal ramifications for the department should we go down this path? You know, right now, if you can't get a game license if you have a felony, I believe if you have bills in the ORC, the Recovery Center, you can't apply for a game license, much less a driver's license, things like that. Not completing a survey, would that, even though you might have it in rule or something like that, what kind of I know you're not an attorney, neither am I, but what kind of legal challenges might the department see on something like that?
Madam Chair, Commissioner Bartling, when you establish an administrative rule, part of it's going to be the devil's in the details too, right? How that rule is written and what that rule says you must or must not do. So some of it is in the details. But in the end of the day also, when you make an administrative rule, if you are violating that rule or you do something of that nature, it's a class 2 misdemeanor, right? And by default as an administrative rule. So when you have a rule such as that, there's also the expectation that you're enforcing those rules as well. So what are all the legal ramifications? I think a lot of it would be depending on how the rule is written or what the rule or rules are exactly and how they would look. But certainly there would be some responsibility as the agency to enforce or execute, implement those rules that would be promulgated.
Director Kirschman, I have a couple questions, and I just want you to help me better understand the ETAG. So it sounds like the department is moving in this direction. We're working on some adjustments to make it right. But my questions are a couple of them. So would this be volunteer for folks? They could either do the paper version or an e-tag version. And would the e-tag version have that mandatory reporting in it?
Madam Chair, so those are all those things that we're going through and deciding and determining what is the best approach. Because as Commissioner Teal said, there are states that do it different ways, right? Our approach in general would be like to go one way and not provide multiple options, because that becomes very cumbersome and confusing for the users themselves. Now, in general, the concept would be is moving with that e-tag concept whenever that is, when that's ready to go, and the reporting part of it, that's just part of the process then. And so you have your license, you were granted and drew a license, you're out there and you're doing the electronic reporting. Part of that would be then you harvested it, you quote-unquote notched it, you signed it, and then you said, I harvested a whitetail buck deer, and those couple of questions is part of it, and it's submitted.
Okay, very good, thank you. I do have a question for Mr. Kolbeck.
Yes,
ma'am. So, Mr. Kolbeck, when we talk about the data, and Director Kirschman mentioned that they feel the department has very good data in the processes that they have in place. Help me understand what is missing, that if we implemented a mandatory harvest, what's missing that would get our sportsmen what they're looking for?
A couple of things that I think I believe is missing, and I'm not a statistician either, so, but one of the things that I do know is with statistics is if you have a random sample of 20%, 50% is a lot different than if you have a, what we've got, 100% random sample, and then what you're getting back. You've all seen what happens with political surveys with random sampling. They are not always the accurate results. The other thing is I really like the idea of the e-tag system, and a big part of that is that the data is real time. It's coming in during the season. The last several years that I've watched licenses being set, so forth, you have not had the previous year's data available to you yet when you're making those decisions, because they haven't compiled it yet, that survey results yet. My hope would be that we would have that information more readily available for the current year when we're setting those licenses.
Thank you for that. So then my follow-up is, as Director Kirschman mentioned, they are working on this e-tag, what it looks like, what it includes, it's all in the process. And I understand there's been some frustration because it hasn't come forward like you had hoped. But they've said today on the record they're still working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that, is that a little bit easier to swallow for the members that you represent, or are you still hoping to move forward with the mandatory reporting?
That helps to know that they're working on that, certainly. I won't deny that. I think the issue that why we brought it forward now for the mandatory reporting, as I said earlier, is simply because we've seen the population suffering recently, and I think people want to see something done now.
Very good, thank you. Additional questions, comments from the commission? Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, Commissioner Whitmire again. Yeah, getting back to where is this headed, I guess, you know, I'm assuming, so I should ask, if you don't mind, this is to get a better grasp on population, mm-hmm. and thus a more responsible, perhaps, allocation of licenses in the future. I mean, so I just wanted to clarify that we're on. I don't know what else.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page.
Yeah, okay,
what the end result looks like. I visited with Tom for a lot of years, and I think we see eye to eye on most things, and this is certainly one of them. That is the desire. Just felt like this was a better way to get more feedback from hunters, sportsmen, on a more timely basis. Because as he mentioned, you know, sending COs out, talking to people, so forth, that's only hitting a small portion of those sportsmen. To get mandatory reporting, The one other question I do have with the e-tagging is if that tag is part of it, you're getting the harvest data. Those that are unsuccessful, would there still be follow-up on that to understand maybe why they weren't successful in the survey data, that type of stuff, if that would be additional follow-up information as part of that process?
Yeah, and Tom is shaking his head. Yeah. Very good with that, commissioners. If we're done with questions and comments, discussion and or motions.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner White.
I might motion that we follow Commissioner White. I make a motion that we follow the recommendation of the Game, Fish, and Parks and go with the process of pursuing e-licensing for the future.
We have a motion to deny the petition from Commissioner White. We do need a second. Seconded by Commissioner Bartlane. Comments, discussion on that motion? Commissioner Bartlane.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Bartlane. Well, I think a lot has been said here, and I think Director Kirschman's kind of alluded to where we are at, where we're headed, and why we are where we're at, and why we are going where we're going. So I think we need to give the department the latitude to continue to work with the bow hunters, please keep in conversations, and just continue with the processes that we do, because I think we're getting the information we want. Maybe it's not as timely as some others might feel, but I think it's something we certainly are working towards and will continue to work towards.
Thank you, Commissioner. Chair. Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, just one more comment. I guess I appreciate Ron bringing this and the folks that weighed in on it. And again, if I wasn't clear before, looking at it, I'm fully supportive of getting everybody to comply and do that. But I'll be voting to deny the day because I just want to clarify the reason is looking at the end of this, you know, what is that mandatory going to cause to our hunters that are applying? I mean, I don't want to convolute that process either. I don't want to deny anybody that's, you know, that's just trying to get used to this new process, you know, of mandatory and, you know, some people being, you know, very good at things on the internet. I mean, I just looking at the things that we do, like there's the goose depredation and there's a compliance with that that I'm going to admittedly late to comply with because you're just busy with things and you're not thinking about that date of August 15th coming and going. And so just looking ahead to where this is going that way, looking at like the blizzard of 22 where we did a good count up the northeast there and then we had a bad blizzard and we weren't able to utilize that information because we didn't know how solid it was afterwards. I don't think this is going to fix all the problems and it's going to create some issues for some hunters and that I feel really, I guess it just wouldn't feel that that's the right thing to do. So I will be voting against this for those reasons.
Thank you, Commissioner Whitmire. Additional comments from the commission? And or discussion. Commissioner Locken.
Commissioner Locken here. I think Commissioner Bartling may have posed a really good question. Do we have the right to deny a license if they don't comply with reporting? I would kind of be surprised that we'd have that. I think we better, going forward, whatever path we take, we better find the answer to that question. Thank you.
Commissioner Teal.
I would just like to thank everybody that submitted comments because I think everybody, we're all like-minded, we're all sportsmen, and we all share the same, we all want to go out and have a really good experience, and we know that this is maybe one avenue that may help with that. However, I think there's way more proactivity, if you will, within the department, within the commission, within the state, that goes on than a lot of people may realize. When there is a bad EHD outbreak, we don't just look past that and go strictly off of survey data from the year prior. So would it benefit, possibly. It's cool to have that 100% number. I'd encourage everybody to do their surveys. But I do think this e-tagging will bring a really good change to maybe getting those response rates up in the future, too, just to have a little bit more secure data to boot. But, yeah, that's all I got.
Additional comments? I too, would like to thank Ron and everyone from our Bow Hunters Association group for reaching out and sharing their comments and concerns. It's definitely given the commission alongside the department some good conversation as to where we go from here. We hear from hunters, landowners, it's been a rough year on our deer, and it's top of mind for a lot of people. So I think this has been a good time to bring this forward. I think our sportsmen and the department, they do want the same thing. And how we get there might be a little bit different in terms of timing, but they are moving in that direction. So I, too, will be voting for the denial. And with that, we have a motion to deny. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, the petition is denied. Thank you, Ron, and to everybody who reached out to us.